Have you had a good week? I realized I looked down at that moment, didn't even see you nodding your heads. Goodness. I'm glad that you have. I know that every week is a little different for everybody. And we might be coming this morning and have had an incredible, wonderful experience of the week, and everything went just exactly the way it should have and could have. or we may have come this morning having experienced a week that was filled with a little more stress than usual, or perhaps a lot more stress than usual, sometimes even grief and sorrow. You know, we come in the time of worship because we know there are many ways that we relate to our God in terms of how we respond to Him emotionally. We respond to Him emotionally when we've had a great week by giving thanks, don't we? We love to give praise and thanksgiving to God because of the great things that He has done in our lives for us. And sometimes when we've had a great week, we might need to just come and remember that it was perhaps the God of heaven who looked down and touched our lives that week, and we just need to give thanks. Sometimes we come because we know that God has been present, but life has been really hard, and we've had a really tough experience. You know, things that we didn't expect, or even maybe things that we knew were coming, that were very difficult in our lives that we had to kind of sort through. You know, and in some cases, you may have had a week that was mixed with all of that. You know, that's one of those times when we say, you know, am I really messed up or what? You know, do I need help? Well, I think the one thing that we all want to remember is that we all need help. And we need it at different ways from different times, and we're grateful for the help that comes from the Lord. As we're moving into the next chapter of our study in 2 Corinthians, today we're going to primarily just do one message from 2 Corinthians. These center chapters I mentioned last week, Paul speaks a lot about his relationship with the people of Corinth in all of these center chapters of 2 Corinthians. In chapter 10 in particular, he's talking about affirming his apostolic authority, granting that there were apparently, and you know, we don't see them, but the Apostle Paul experienced them because he responds to them. Okay, but there were apparently a number of people, even among the church folks, that knew a little bit more about Paul's history and understood some things. And even though it didn't seem like he was still acting that way anymore, because he had been dramatically transformed by the work and the grace of Christ, as Christ came and said, "You need to pay attention to me rather than your old ways." And Christ looked at him and drew him in, and Paul became just as zealous for Christ then as he had been for the law and for the attacks upon Christians in the early church. And yet there were still some of those who were struggling, and they would bring some accusations against Paul from time to time. And I believe that's what he is kind of addressing and reacting to a little bit in the early portion and in the latter portion of this chapter. So we're going to read that chapter, the whole thing, but we're going to focus on just a few verses because I think these few verses will help us personally as we walk with the Lord, all right? And so please understand, I want to read all these because I don't want to ignore what's here. And the Lord may even speak something to you out of a part of the apostles' words to the church that I don't draw out and give focus to. So hear these words carefully. in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Begin reading in verse 1. Now, I, Paul, myself, appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I, who am humble among you in person, but bold toward you when absent, I beg you that when I am present, I will not need to be bold with the confidence by which I plan to challenge certain people who think we are behaving according to the flesh. For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And we are ready to punish any disobedience once your obedience is complete. Look at what is obvious. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, let him remind himself of this. Just as he belongs to Christ, so do we. If I boast a little too much about our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not tearing you down, I will not be put to shame. I don't want to seem as though I am trying to terrify you with my letters, for it is said, his letters are weighty and powerful, but his physical presence is weak and his public speaking amounts to nothing. Let such a person consider this. What we are in our letters, when we are absent, we will also be in our actions when we are present. For we do not dare classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves, but in measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves to themselves, they lack understanding. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but according to the measure of the area of ministry that God has assigned to us, which reaches even to you, for we are not overextending ourselves as if we had not reached you, since we have come to you with the gospel of Christ. We are not boasting beyond measure about other people's labors. On the contrary, we have the hope that as your faith increases, our area of ministry will be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel to the regions beyond you without boasting about what has already been done in someone else's area of ministry. So, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one commending himself who is approved, but the one the Lord commends. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Spirit that you have placed in the apostle as he writes these words. And Father, as one who had received apostleship through the work of Jesus Christ, even after his death and his burial and his resurrection, Lord, as one who came to know Jesus as a result of Jesus coming against his false understandings, God, we have come to trust the words that the Apostle Paul has given to us because he was called directly by Christ. So even as we hear from Matthew and Luke and John and Peter and other portions of the scripture, certainly all of the scriptures, Lord, we hear from you through these that you have blessed and given as teachers to us and revealers by the Holy Spirit of your holy word. And Father, we pray that we will trust and receive these words today for your glory. Lord, be known among us, even as we focus on some very practical things. Lord, help us to recognize that our ministry is something that is not intended just to remain right here. But as each one of us goes out from this place, that we will participate in that ministry in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our families, in places that are perhaps difficult to go, in the public market. Oh God, we pray that you will be exalted and glorified, and also that we will speak clearly about who you are. And now, our Father, we pray also that we might understand what it means to live in this world where we face spiritual battles. For we thank you that while we struggle, we don't struggle alone. That indeed the battle belongs to you. We pray that we will make ourselves available and that we will do the work of that which we can manage in our flesh. But Lord, in every way then, trust in you and the power of your Spirit as we seek to work for your pleasure, for your glory, for your kingdom, and for the salvation of many. We thank you and give praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a spiritual battle, right? Do you remind yourself of that perhaps fairly regularly? I'd really like to encourage you to remind yourself every morning as you get up, as you take your Bible and your devotional book, which might be on your device, as you take the Word of God and allow it to speak to your heart and to your mind, remember and remind yourself that it is a spiritual battle that you will face today. I get it. There will be elements of those things that we do in our jobs that don't seem to really have anything to do with a spiritual purpose or a spiritual matter. But it is a spiritual battle that you and I face as we walk through this world for our purpose as Christians. While we have our careers and we have our families and we have our neighborhoods and we have all of those things that we do, our purpose is to reflect the character and the nature of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dead world. You know, I grew up hearing that phrase, a lost and dying world. Well, we have to understand that until we came into relationship with Jesus Christ, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. So we are taking the message of God, the hope of Christ, to a lost and dead world. And as we think about that today, I want us to remember that it is a spiritual battle and we need to choose our weapons. And some of those weapons take place just in the inner portion of our heart. But I'd like for us to give a little bit of greater focus this morning to the early verses there. As he says, beginning in verse 3, "For although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh." You go around our city, and I know that some of you watch the news and are wishing that you didn't. But we go around our city, and in this past week, we've seen news stories of a young man in Moscow who stabbed his father and has been charged with attempted murder. We hear stories of someone over in another neighborhood not too far from ours who has taken a weapon and shot either a neighbor or a family member, and that person has lost their life. We see things all around us where there is a battle that's being waged according to the flesh. Oh, let's make it not so dramatic. We see homes and households where there are people who become angry with one another and they begin to yell at one another and they scream and they screech at one another and holler and in such a manner that the whole neighborhood can hear. I can tell you that I've sat right here in my office on any given day, and it may be true that someone from some home nearby will begin to yell and scream at their supposed loved one. I can tell you that I can sit in my own home, and periodically I will hear the yells and the screams of a neighborhood child who is angry and frustrated with their parent. And then that parent responding also in a similar way in order to do something, to try to gain control, to gather and gain and exert a manner of control over that child's life. Those are battles according to the flesh. You probably have some battles that you face it in your job, that you battle according to the flesh, or that you see being battled according to your flesh. But I would challenge you in this way, that if any of those experiences begin to filter into your life and creep up and create struggles for you, remember that the battle for the Christian is not to be waged according to the flesh. The battle for the Christian needs to be waged according to the Spirit of God. It is a spiritual battle, and we need to choose our weapons and choose them well. Although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And we are ready to punish any disobedience once your obedience is complete. Now, the battle that you face is a spiritual battle. It's one that you need to fight according to the matters of the Word. And I'd like to just suggest to you some weapons some weapons which you may be able to latch onto and begin to practice and wield. Because guess what? If you're going to wield a weapon, you need practice. Somebody who uses and wields a sword well has spent hours with it. Even using a shield well, you need the practice of and quickness of moving that around so that it can protect you and protect the part of your body where you're about to be struck. And we need to understand that the use of weapons is something that is to be wielded according to the strength even that we've received in Christ, because we're talking about these being spiritual weapons. Now, I don't think it would be, it might be a little bit odd if we picked up a whole bunch of shields and a few swords and some helmets and a few other things and had people put those on and wear them around all week everywhere they went, right? That might be a little bit over the top for some. You might get some interesting questions, right? In fact, you know, some are going to look at you pretty much through the side of their face and say, you know, I don't think you should bring that sword in here. I'm not very comfortable with that. We had a young man one time who came to a Moss meeting on a Monday night, and he had a sword, a samurai sword, with him. And it was interesting because he was under the influence of something. It was a very interesting and somewhat uncomfortable experience. He wasn't wielding the sword. He didn't pull it out of its sheath. But it was a very interesting moment. And as we spoke with him and had conversation with him for a while, we gave him a Bible. We gave him a note sheet, and he began to engage in that. But by the time it was all over, I received this Bible back from him. It was one of the semi, the false leather bound ESV Bibles that we have downstairs that we share with our children in our classrooms and give to people at times. And when he handed it back to me, it had words written all over the cover and in both inside the covers and in several pages across the Bible itself. It was rather defaced. I've kept it just as a reminder of some things. But here, this was a guy that, in my view, I think he was dealing with drugs, and so I would say that it was mostly a battle of the flesh, but there was a spiritual element in that battle. And he was kind of all over the place in his conversation. And before it was all over, he left his sword with me. I put it in a place where nobody in our church family would ever find it unless they were cleaning out my office. I don't want to give you my hiding place, right? I don't mind. Yeah, it was on the top shelf and over behind the books on the top shelf in my office. There's nothing back there now, by the way, so there's no treasures. But what I want to say is that he gave that to me and he said, I'll come and pick this up again, but I'm not safe right now, when it all came down to it. And he began through our conversation and through our prayer to begin to understand that he was not good for himself or anybody in that particular moment. And about 8 months later, he came and introduced himself, and I recognized him as the man that had been here. And he said, I just was wondering if I could retrieve my sword. He was in his right mind. Everything was good. I said, yeah, I've got it for you. I'm glad I kept it. I'm glad I kept it here. But I was able to give that back to him, and he was able to move forward, and he spoke to me and shared with me that he had become involved in a Bible study and in a church life, and that things were remarkably being changed in his life. And I was so thankful for that reality. But it's a spiritual battle that we face, and we need to be careful in the choosing of our weapons, and I'd like to share with you some of those weapons that you and I need to use. Things that we need to learn, we need to practice. and so it's just a short list of six things, all right? But they're common. You know about these things. The first weapon for spiritual warfare is your repentance. My repentance. If I want to have victory in my spiritual battles, then I need to be clear in my walk with God, and there is nothing that I am harboring as a habit of sin in my life that can be an obstacle between me and God in my relationship with Him. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I know that I've been forgiven of all of my sin. I said, yes, you have. But here is how you walk with God today. You walk with God today by leaving that sin behind and not allowing that to continue to be a weight upon you that keeps you from having victory in your relationship with Him, to keep you from having joy in your relationship with God. Are you at some point a little bit questioning whether you really like being around God a lot? Whether you find your greatest joy there? If you don't find your greatest joy in the presence of the Lord, then I challenge you to consider that there still yet may be some sin that you have not left behind. I challenge you to consider that there is something hanging on to you that you have chosen to continue in, and that is an obstacle between you and the Lord. I've shared this, and I'll share it very briefly right now. One time when I had kept something from my father and I had lied to him and when I was in high school. And then when I was about 37 years old, maybe not exactly that, but about 37 years old, because I think I carried this for 20 years, I decided that no longer did I want to spend time with my dad and have that thing keep pounding me in my memory. Because I had never told him about the lie. I had never repented in his presence. I'd never confessed it before him. And it didn't bother him. But it bothered me like crazy. And it kept me from having the kind of joy in my relationship with my dad that I wanted to have. Friends, if you have sin in your life today that you are not leaving behind you, that you are not confessing before the Lord, that you are not repenting of, then you will not find the joy. You will always be hounded by the reality of that sin. You may even have stopped doing certain things, but you've not humbly gone before the Lord and just said, God, I get it. I know that I was an offense to you. I know that what I did was disrespectful. I know that my behavior was wrong. And my friends, we need to live in repentance. Repentance is a lifelong habit, and that's why I say practice as we pick up the weapons of our warfare. There will be times that sin will creep back into your life, and you need to practice the habit of repenting. Sometimes that may just be simply in your walk with God. If something seems a little bit off, you may want to ask the Spirit, like the psalmist did, create in me a clean heart. and see if there is any wicked way in me, and restore the joy of your salvation of me. You see, that's what the psalmist was crying out for in that particular moment. And if there's something that's just not right, there's not any joy, then let me encourage you, pray that, and then be ready humbly to repent, as the Spirit of God will reveal. We want to repent. That's one of the first weapons of our warfare. And then we want to speak Scripture. Now, several of these things relate so closely to the Scripture. And I think it's important for us also to remember what we have in Ephesians chapter 6, because there, and some of you already thought of that, might have even looked and reminded yourself of what's there. But in chapter 6 of Ephesians, beginning in verse 10, we find out this whole section that speaks about the spiritual battle that we are in, where it says there, "Finally be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens." Do you get it? There's evil spiritual forces out there working against you and working against the church. That's what always was coming upon the early church, and even today as we look around the world in the places where there is significant persecution, the spiritual forces of darkness and evil against you, against the church, in the heavens, meaning in the realms, not of the flesh, okay? I think that's the thing we want to remember about that. If it says in the heavens here, we're talking about not of the flesh. This is in that spiritual realm that we don't necessarily have, that we don't see with our fleshly eyes, okay? It's different. But we need to let that happen against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. And for this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand therefore, and these are things to practice, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this, I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. And so you see, we have these things that are given as the armor of God. That's for the Roman soldier, this was his weaponry. This was the best thing he had. I mean, they had some other larger things that they didn't carry on their bodies. You know, they had to have wheels for the trebuchet and a few other things that they might have used in battle. That could have been true, but they would have had these things available to themselves for their own personal protection and offensive work that they would do as a soldier. And so as we recognize who we are in the army of God, in the context of God's kingdom, where we are fighting spiritual battles, we need to learn and know that these things are important. And so we start with this repentance. And then the second thing is this: we speak scripture. Along with this, in the Ephesians passage, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Our best offense against the spiritual forces that are coming against us is the scripture. It's the word of God. That's what transforms you and me. That's what changes our lives. We receive the Spirit of God. We receive the scriptures and we learn the scriptures so that we may have the scriptures when we are attacked by the evil one. That's the best way that we have victory over the devil. That's the best way that we have victory when in times when we are depressed, in times when we are hurting, in times when we are confused. We have the word of God and it comes for us. There have been times in my life where a particular verse of scripture has come to mind because at some point I'd memorized it. I will confess to you, I'm not really diligent about new scripture memory right now, but I am so thankful for all the old scripture memory I did when I was in college and a younger adult, in my early adult life. I am so thankful for every word that I memorized, and I'm grateful. I'll confess to you that this passage from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20 is one that has been a challenge for me, and I have attempted, I've started over and over and over in the memorization of this passage, and I can get through to a certain spot. You know, most of us, many of us might, you know, be able to take a small portion like the section that talks about the armor of God and say, well, I can get through the armor pretty well, okay? Or you might have gotten that first section, but I stumble in that first section, and so I have to keep starting over as I stumble. But we, in order to understand that God is present and able through his word to attack the things that are coming against you spiritually, then you need to learn to speak scripture. So as we memorize scripture, as we open the Bible and read scripture, it is powerful against the spiritual forces of darkness. And it makes a huge difference. When you are tempted, and you know what you're tempted by, it will be good for you to grab a verse of scripture and memorize that verse of scripture so that when that temptation comes, you've attached that temptation to this word, this piece from God's word that will help you to not take a step toward that temptation. Because the temptation itself is not the sin. I'm not sure that any of us can fully repent of temptation. Because temptation is going to come. It's going to keep cropping itself up and presenting itself. But what we do with temptation when it comes is what we need to be so careful about. And we need to have scripture. Just remember what Jesus did. When Jesus was tempted, we find those three parts of the story. First of all, he was hungry. Why? Because he'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I'd be hungry. You'd be hungry. And in our flesh, we would say, yeah, I think I'm going to eat that stone. But the devil came to him and said, you're hungry. You're God. Just tell these stones to turn to bread, and then you'll have something. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Spoke back to the temptation exactly and directly with Scripture. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not by bread alone. He says, I don't need a bread that comes from the temptation of my flesh. You see, I think that's a big part of the significance of that statement. I don't need a bread that comes out of the temptation of my flesh. I need to rely upon God's word and God's promises to me. So when we are tempted, let's speak scripture. And then you see that Jesus continued to answer those. He was tempted to cast himself off the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, you shall not test the Lord your God. And he was tempted to bow down and worship the devil. How much temptation do you think Jesus really felt? I mean, he was hungry for the adoration and worship of all the kingdoms. There's no question about that, because he was God. He was God. He deserved it. He was a creator. They were there because of him. And all of us need to be worshiping Jesus, worshiping God. But Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He was not tempted to bow to Satan. He might have been tempted to have the adoration of everything. But here's the thing. Satan didn't have that to give. Satan didn't even have that to give to Jesus. It wasn't his ever. Now, he might have seemed to have some control and authority in those places, but it never was his to give. It was already belonging to the hand of Christ because of God, the Father, the Creator. And so, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, Jesus responded with Scripture. He knew the Word of God. Well, he was the Word of God. Right? Okay. But we need to know and learn and saturate our lives with the truths of God's word so that when temptations come, we are ready for the spiritual battle. And then, not only do we need to speak scripture, we need to meditate on God's truth. There are certain truths that come into your life, and you might not be in the battle at the moment, but those truths will come to your life, and you're going to want to just spend a little time meditating on that. You know, if the Word of God says that you shouldn't worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ. That's worth thinking about. That's worth meditating on. That's worth relying upon. I want to know, I need to know that I don't need to spend time worrying. That's basically what he said. One translation just says, don't worry about anything. But with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, take it to the Lord. And then find the peace of God. That transcends, that is overall, it supersedes all of the concern and even the lack of understanding. Because sometimes we worry about things we don't understand. Is there anything that God does not understand? Take your lack of understanding to the throne of God, and he will give you peace. He will give you peace. And as you go and as you grow, you may receive understanding. But we need to meditate upon God's truth. We need to meditate. You know, we need to meditate on God's greatness, upon his goodness. We need to meditate. Why do we sing songs like this? You know, and why do sometimes our songs remind us? For example, we add a chorus, and so we sing these verses that include wonderful truths about who God is. And then we sing a chorus that kind of highlights and reiterates the basic message for us. You know, it's a way of meditation. Meditation upon the Word of God and thinking of the Word of God is allowing the Word of God to continue to flow over and wash us as we give thought and heart to it. So we want to meditate on God's truth. And then we want to use God's weapons, okay? We have the armor of God. And of course, in a way, this is a little bit redundant because we've already talked about the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the shield of faith. See, this is something that God has given us and allowed us to have in order that we might fend off the attacks of the enemy. Because we have faith, because we trust Jesus, because we believe in the work that Christ has done, we use that shield of faith that when someone comes with some lie about God or with some lie about some other God trying to get us to be attached to them, you see, then we have an opportunity to fend it off, to ward it off, and let it bounce because of the shield of our faith. It belongs to us. In the helmet of salvation, we're protected and we are saved by the grace of God. And it's not of ourselves, and lest anyone should boast. It's not of works, but it's a gift of God. It's the gift of God. And we place upon our heads that helmet of salvation. Why do people who do sports wear helmets? Because when they first started playing those sports 60 years ago, 100 years ago, without helmets, everybody became loopy. They were still strong. They were still crazy. But a lot of them were kind of off because they'd hit their heads so many times that they were no longer able to think straight. In high school sports, if a person has more than 5 concussions in the course of their high school career, they're not allowed to play in high school anymore. Those were the rules when my kids were in high school. I don't know if they were always applied very well. I wasn't in the police force. But I was aware that anyone who had concussions of that nature, that were bona fide concussions, that they were to not ever be on the, for example, on the basketball floor. Because you don't wear a helmet in basketball. And you have to be careful about those things. Friends, we have the helmet of salvation. We wear the helmet of salvation in order to protect us and our spiritual processes in order that we might make a difference for the kingdom of God. We want to use God's weapons, which include these things of the armor of God. And then, number 5, so we spoke about Scripture a minute ago when it says that we should be speaking Scripture, reading it out loud and quoting what we have memorized. But then, another part of the weapons of our warfare is that we speak and share the truth. And this is just one step beyond that, where we're intentionally going against the enemy with the truth of God's word in order that it might transform and make a difference in the life of a person who is hearing it, who has also been consumed by the details of the enemy. And then finally, number six, we need to let the Holy Spirit work. We need to let the Holy Spirit work. In your life today, do you pray and then just go on about all your stuff? You have a plan, you have an idea, and maybe 2 or 3 people have said, I don't know if that's a very good idea or not. In some cases, maybe it's a fine idea and it's okay to go forward. But you've had some Christian friends who have said, you know, I'm concerned about you as you think about this. You need to stop and let the Holy Spirit work. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will through the course of your prayer time, the course of your even going through work, he'll reveal something to you that has the necessity of coming into your life so that you can protect yourself or guard yourself from making a really foolish mistake. And I think sometimes we need to pay attention to that. And we need to stop long enough and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. If we have been saved and have received the wonderful gifting of God's Spirit who works in the life of the believer as we walk with Him, as we trust Him, how foolish would it be that we ignore God in our lives? This one who loves us more than anything and is able to reveal. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, whether it's to bring conviction of sin or whether it's to give clear direction for our lives, then we need to trust in that. You see, it's a spiritual battle. We need to choose our weapons. We need to choose our course, and we need to determine that we will follow after Christ. Our music today was intended to help us prepare our minds for that very purpose. Lead on, O King Eternal. In humility, we come and we make that proclamation because we know we're dependent upon Jesus. The battle belongs to the Lord in this passage that I had Alan read for us this morning. The battle's not yours. It's God's. He will give you the victory as you walk with Him and as you trust Him. I don't know exactly what your battles are today. We face battles together as a body sometimes. And we want to continue in the reality of those battles to keep trusting the Lord and walking with Him and depending on His direction and His word in the understanding of those being spiritual battles. But you may have some things that you're facing. Might be in your personal life, just between you and God. It might be in your relationships, in your homes and families. It might be in your relationships, even with your neighbors. Have you thought about some of the challenges that you face with your neighbors or with your co-laborers in your job place? That those might be spiritual battles, and that if you rely upon the Lord and apply in your own heart and your mind the meditation of Scripture, that God might somehow even bring a resolution there that you did not expect, that you would have never imagined. But are you still trying to battle that according to your flesh? I challenge you. Remember that because of who you are in Christ, every battle you face is a battle you can recognize as a spiritual battle. In your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in the church. Every battle we face is a spiritual battle. We need to choose our weapons carefully and battle according to the Spirit. Our Father, this morning we thank You that You've helped us to open up Your word. And we pray today that You indeed will be glorified as we have listened to it and have allowed You to speak to us. And as we go from this place and into our places, our worlds, our home, our jobs, the market, our neighborhoods, our favorite places, Lord, may we be committed to You and yielded to You. And we'd ask that You will be glorified. Lord, in this time of response, if there's anyone that needs to just bow before You and perhaps begin with some repentance and confession and discover once again the joy of walking in Christ. Or if there's someone else, or even that person, whatever progression it takes, Lord, for someone to come to the place where they are going to remember on a daily basis, this is a spiritual battle. Lord, may we battle according to the presence of Christ and the work of Your Spirit in our lives. We love You, Lord. we would be so foolish to not take advantage of this promise of your work in us and through us, and not so much take advantage, but give a yielded life that is useful to our Savior, that others might be saved also. Let us not be so wrapped up about ourselves that we can't speak to others and help them see Jesus. We give thanks, O Lord. Use this time for your pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing.